أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد، اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. أما بعد، sisters، السلام عليكم. And I welcome you to this class we are going to start today, which is known as Women. And here, this book, which has been written by Hujjatul Islam Mahdi Mahrizi, who's one of the teachers in the House of Qom. And before I start the class, just a few words about the rules of this session. Those people who have entered here, when you look at your screen, you will see that there are certain options that you have. One of those options is to raise a hand. Now, obviously, I don't want you to raise a hand until I end the lecture so that you can ask questions by raising your hand. I would know that you're raising your hand and you can ask a question. I will unmute you, because until then you will be muted. The next option you have is to ask a question. Anytime in the speech or the lecture, you can write down the question and I will see the question. And when the time will come, I will answer all the questions and hopefully try to answer all the questions that I could or can. Now, when we look at this book that we are going to study, right, and the subject of that book, which is a very important subject, and we have chosen this book for the sisters who would really want to understand their identity, their role, their objective, and their true reality. And it's an excellent book that is written by Hujjatul Islam Mahrizi. Here we will start off with the preamble or the introduction to the book, and I will explain the introduction so that we will be able to get started with the book. In the introduction of the book, we see that in regards to women, there are two predominant outlooks, the Western outlook and the Eastern outlook. You have two viewpoints that are predominant in the world. There is that Western viewpoint of woman, what the West regards as woman, and what the East regards as woman. And I divided this into a Western and Eastern to give terms to it. It could be any term. For example, the modern outlook of woman and the backward outlook of woman, or you can say historical outlook of woman. So there are many ways that you can term this, but for our convenience, we are going to say the Western and Eastern viewpoints regarding women. The Western viewpoint in regards to women is that they use the pretext of social activism of women and the pretext of defending her rights. They call and invite the woman towards an unknown labyrinth, an unknown maze, where she, once the woman gets into that maze of unknown rights and unknown goals, then she starts losing her identity, she starts losing her role and her position in society. And her position as a woman is degraded. This, the Western viewpoint, is the fact that this is what a woman is, and in order to defend her rights, that she has been oppressed, so we are going to give her all these rights, and we're going to give her all these things, so that she can become equal to men. Now, where does that lead? What will happen? What will happen to her identity, what will happen to her role, is still unknown, and we are trying to figure that out, and until further notice, we will keep you updated. That's what they say. Now, as opposed to that, then you have an Eastern viewpoint. The Eastern viewpoint, under the guise of chastity and purity, to keep the woman chaste, meaning that they want the woman to be chaste and they want the woman to be pure, they keep her isolated, they keep her secluded, they keep her far away from many human perfections and virtues that are also intended for women and the goals that are intended for women. They keep them away from that. And this is done under the guise of chastity and purity. They say that this is a woman and she should be in a certain way and she is chaste, and because of her chastity, she needs to keep away from all of these things, and they keep her away from things that she should have in order to reach her perfection. That's the Eastern viewpoint. What does Islam say? Islam says that both these viewpoints are jahiliyyah. They are ignorance. And they're based on ignorance. One is an old pre-Islamic ignorance, and the other is a modern-day ignorance. But both of them are based on ignorance of the fact that both these viewpoints do not know, nor they understand what is a woman. They don't understand what a woman is. And because they don't know that, they don't understand that, that's why they made false notions regarding a woman and made false roles for a woman that either take her identity away from her or stop her or prevent her from reaching perfection. Both of these Islam regards as ignorance. And this is what we see today. Today, we see that women who are growing up in the world today are given only two options. This is the only two options they're given. And this is the only choice that they're given. What is that choice? Either submit to Western debauchery, meaning that this is a modern woman and that's what you need to be, lose your identity and become some sort of this creature or animal that has no identity of its own, no place of its own, no role of its own in this society. Or to be secluded in her house, deprived of many human perfections and sublimities that were meant for women. This is what the two options that are given to us. Either you be this or you be that. If you are in the West, they will be proud of what they have, and they'll always put down the others with some labels. For example, in the West, when we are growing up here, we say, or either you're modern or you're backward. This is how they portray the two options. Now, if you go to the East, they'll portray the same two options by saying either you're chaste or you're depraved or characterless. This is how they look at women. And this is where you see the two options that women today are given. There is no third option that they're given. There is not another option that they are told that, listen, you can be this also. What does Islam say? Islam says that the correct way is between these two extremes. Both these are extremes. What the West says about woman is an extreme, and what the East says about woman is an extreme. One side is liberal, the other side is conservative. Liberalism and seclusion. These aren't the only two sides. There is a third side, a moderation between the two. A moderation between the two. A woman is not set loose that she loses her identity, nor is she kept tied that she is prevented from perfection and reaching greatness. The true line, the true path, and the true understanding of woman is in between. Let's look deeper into what I just said. You see, a woman has two aspects to her. Two aspects. If you look at yourself, you have two aspects to yourself. One aspect of you is that you are a human being. You are a human being. That's one aspect of a woman. The second aspect of a woman is that she is a female. That she is a woman. Just like a man has two aspects. On one hand, a man is a human being. And on the other hand, a man is a male. One aspect has to do with her genus, meaning where she comes from, meaning that her umbrella, that her being, which is that she is a human. And the other aspect has to do with gender, that she's a female. Both of these are a reality in a woman. Just like both things are a reality in men. One is her genus, meaning that she's a human, and the other, her gender, that she's a female. So you have two aspects to a woman. Islam says, from the aspect of a human being, from the fact that she's a human being, there is no difference between men and women, because both of them are human beings. Both of them are human beings. And hence, when we look at men and women as human beings, there is no difference. So what does that mean? That means that whatever is meant for a human being is meant equally for men and women. Meaning that whenever Allah speaks to human beings, He speaks equally to men and women without any difference between the two. So whatever role is there for a human being, it is for both men and women equally. Whatever goal is there for a human being, it is there for men and women equally. Whatever behavior and etiquette is there for a human being is there for both men and women equally. So whenever Allah addresses insan, whenever Allah addresses a human being, then He means both men and women equally. For example, when He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْإِنَّ وَالْإِنْسَ وَالْجِنْسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ جِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لَيَعْبُدُونَ I have not created the human beings except that they worship me. So when He speaks about worship, He speaks to insan, He speaks to humans. And hence in worship, both men and women are equally addressed. And in worship, they are equally, they have an equal role in fulfilling that obligation. So you see, when it comes to human being, there is no difference between men and women. And the rules, behavior, role, and etiquette, and everything that applies to a human being applies to a woman the same as that of a man. But from the aspect of gender, men are men, women are women. From the aspect of gender, meaning are they male or female? Yes, there is a difference between a male and a female. Yeah, Allah says that in the Quran. We know that there's a difference between a male and a female. And this is important for us to understand. Not as a human being, but as a gender, there is difference. So when it comes to gender, what is meant for the different gender is not meant for the other. Meaning that when it comes to gender, the rules that are related to gender, the laws that are related to gender, the roles that are related to gender are meant for the specific gender, not the other. So whenever Allah speaks to men and says, Ar-Rijal, then you know that this is meant specifically for men. It's meant for their gender. Whenever He speaks to women and says, Nisa, He says, Ya ayyuha Nisa, O woman, then this message and this whatever Allah wants to say is meant for the woman, for her gender. So in gender they are different, and what is for the woman is not for the man, and what is for the man is not for the woman. There should be a difference, because this is what leads to their identity. Being a human is not the identity of men and women. Yes, they're humans, that's their reality. But their identity is that they are male and they are female. This is their identity that gives them their unique role in society. So what's the problem here? Why did people make this issue? What is the issue here? You see, this is where the two sides went to the extreme, the Western outlook and the Eastern outlook. They both went to the extreme because of the fact that the Western outlook, when you look at them, you see that they only looked at the human aspect and say that a woman is a human being and that's it. And they ignored the gender aspect. So they took the human aspect and say, as human being, men and women are the same, and hence everything about them is the same. There is no difference at all, and hence they ignored her gender, by which they ignored her unique identity and role that she has in this world. And they made her into something that she's not. And when you take someone's identity away, then that person becomes lost, looking for an identity, trying to make an identity, and at the end, seeing that because there's no identity, there's no goal. This is the Western thought and the flaw of Western thought. Now let's look at the Eastern thought. The Eastern thought looked at the gender, emphasized the gender, and did not recognize the human aspect of woman. So when it came to gender, the Eastern ideology looked at gender and said, well, women are different than men, and hence everything about them is different. And hence they shouldn't be involved in anything a man does, because they looked at the gender aspect. They looked at her as a woman, that's it. So they kept the identity, but the perfection, the role, the goals that Allah had meant for human beings, they would not allow the woman to reach those goals because they didn't recognize her as such. They didn't recognize her as a partner with man in the umbrella of a human being family. And this is the problem with the Eastern thought, and that's why they went to the extreme. Islam is in the middle and says that both a woman is a human being and she's a female. And hence, there are roles that she plays as a human being and there are roles that she plays as a female. The study of woman, this is what we are going to be doing in this class. This book, we will be studying the subject of woman, keeping in mind five principles. Five principles that will be used in our research, in our work, so that we can come to the right conclusions and get the right ideas in regards to women. Those five principles are, the holy book of Allah, which is the Quran, which is pivotal in our research. In any research that you want to do, you need to have the Quran. If you don't have the Quran, then there's no way that you can do that research will be complete, because it's the Quran that gives you the premises, the foundation, the direction in which you do your research. Hence, it's necessary for our research. You know, and without it, we won't. Any research we do will be incomplete. Same as with hadith. Hadith are necessary. They explain, they describe the hadith, meaning the sayings and the actions and the practical example of the Prophet and the Imams. Through them, we understand things more clearly, and the verses of the Quran and the message of Allah becomes more obvious for us. So these are the two main sources that we'll be using. Number three is the analysis of false beliefs. And what we mean by this is that there are many things that because of interrelations of culture, interaction of cultures and nations, we see that many nations and many peoples and many cultures share ideas, share their practices, and these practices go from one nation to another. We need to look at the practices that are found amongst Muslims and see whether these practices, whether these ideas, whether these notions have an Islamic foundation or not. Where did they come from? Where on how did we get these things and why are they false. So we need to look at these things and these notions so that we can clear up the air amongst the Muslims and amongst our in our ideology, so that we can get the right idea of a woman. Number four is science. Yes, there's no we don't deny the fact that science has made progress, and experimental sciences have made a lot of progress in doing experiments and making conclusions on different sort of aspects. But when it comes to sciences like anthropology, the study of human beings and human behavior, science is at the best unreliable because of the many viewpoints that exist out there that are diverse from one another. Because of these diverse viewpoints, we can't truly rely on the experiments that are done to find out about human behavior or human psychology. This is the reason that when we deal with science, we'll take it with a grain of salt to see if this is truly usable or not. At the best, we see that it's unreliable. Number five. Our focus in this book is on external realism and not idealism, meaning we're not here to look at the ideal situation, you know, what a woman should be and what her goal. This, we're not looking at an ideal picture of a woman. We are looking at a practical picture of a woman, her role in society, her role in the family, and we will use external experiences also of the past nations, what happened in the past, how these people, how the role of a woman developed over time, and how things that she was made to do. So these are things that we will be focusing on, not idealism. So keep that in mind when we do the, as we go through the lessons. This book is divided into six chapters. Six chapters, and chapter one being the most important. Because chapter one, which is titled The Character of Woman, is meant to understand the true creation of woman. Meaning, why was she created? What is she? What is her being? What is her reality? So that when we understand that, and the reason it's the most important chapter is because when we understand that aspect, meaning her being, her reality, her existence, her role, her goal, when we look at her creation, then all the other roles that she has while living here could be understood in light of that. Because if we understand the purpose of her creation, and if you understand her creation itself, then we can understand her role that she plays in the different aspects of life in this world. And this will also remove misunderstanding and false notions regarding the creation of women. There are many misunderstandings in many religions and many schools of thoughts regarding women, and this chapter will help us to eradicate those views and to understand that these are false. This is chapter 1. Chapter 2 to 4 are titled The Human Perfections, Woman and Family, and Woman's Participation in Social Life. All these three chapters are discussing women from three aspects. One, woman as an individual. Two, woman as a part of a family. Three, woman as a part of a society. Number one, to look at her as an individual, meaning her own personal growth, her own personal goals, and her own personal ideals. This chapter is known as the human perfection. That is chapter one. Chapter two will deal with her being a part of a family. What is her goal and role in a family? So woman and family is chapter two. Chapter three is her being a part of a society. So woman's participation in social life. That is the title of the fourth chapter. Chapter five, we will go into the issue of hijab, the verses and hadith explaining hijab, and we'll explain in details regarding them, the role of hijab, and those questions that are raised about hijab, and those issues that are raised about hijab, we will answer those also, inshallah, in the chapter 5. Chapter 6, at the end, we will go into a research and a historical research also into books and works that have been done on women, meaning books that have been written on women throughout Islamic history and where they come from. So it's an interesting chapter to go through history and see what work and what was the contribution that was given on this subject throughout history. So inshallah, this will be the ending of our first lesson, which will be the introduction of this lesson. I will have some questions for you next week regarding this lesson. So please go through it and understand it. The book is there. I am just making a summary of the book with my lessons on the screen that you see, so that when you look at this, you will be able to understand it. But I want you to go and read the book. Maybe the English in the book is not great in many places. Actually, you know, there's a lot to be said about that. But inshallah, I will explain to you the book so that when you read it, you will be able to understand it better. So with that, we will end our session here. And until we meet next Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Until then, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.